sweet up little seagull on a marble stair. Trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere.
And a good, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner with Coach Butch McAdams, featuring T.J. Smith. And as always, we want to start by thanking our sponsors, J&W Brown General Contracting. Now, they are licensed full-service, I repeat, full-service home improvement contractor, servicing all of your home improvement renovations, interior and exterior needs. Now, write this number down. Hey, if you're looking for the best and you want to support African-American businessmen, hey, this is the number, 410-728-5000. That's 410-728-5000. That's the number to J&W Brown General Contracting. Now, a step forward. A step forward. Are you or someone you love suffering with a disease of drug or alcohol addiction, or have a mental health issue? Have these issues caused you to be homeless? Well, a step forward has provided, listen to this, residential treatment services, mental health, and substance abuse treatment for well over 20 years. Their goal is to return to our communities, men and women who have hope and a future. If you need help or you know someone who needs help, you write this number down again, 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001. And ask for Dr. Campbell, Dr. Campbell. And finally, Shooting for Peace. It's a grassroots nonprofit. They use sports and current and former pro athletes to teach life lessons to youth and their families using Christian principles. And they have summer camps coming up, after-school programs, as well as a one-day sports clinic. Check them out. It is Shooting for Peace. T.J. Smith, brother, I tell you, you are, as always, every show, the perfect co-host. But today, can you believe what happened in Akron, Ohio, the home of LeBron James? Being a former police officer, being someone who really, really is informed with the do's and the don'ts of policing, how do you explain what happened?
Well, good afternoon to you, Coach. Good to hear your voice again and talk to you. And, man, let me tell you, outrageous doesn't even begin to describe it. This actually harkens back to a moment before body-worn cameras were a thing, before some of the social justice movements were a thing. It was the Sean Bell case, and this was in New York City back in the early 2000s, where he was leaving his bachelor party, and he was unarmed, him and three friends inside of a car. And an undercover officer thought there was a fight inside the club. They left. They thought that they were the people involved in it. And as they were leaving, the officers stopped them. And next thing you know, 60-plus rounds are fired in that case, or 50-plus rounds. He was found to be unarmed. And what occurred in that situation as it was dissected, where the officers were hearing each other fire their weapons, assuming the gunfire was coming from the vehicle, and it wasn't. I don't know all the facts in the Akron case. I will say that I listened to the police chief there, and I thought that he was very measured and very fair by saying that somebody has to be held accountable, and they're going to have to explain why they thought that it was reasonable to fire that many rounds. Now, I will say, from what I have heard, the individual initially pulled a gun and fired a round at the officers during some sort of pursuit or during some sort of encounter. And then the foot pursuit occurred, and at that time there was no weapon. So these are moments that you, in these judgment moments, have to make these judgment decisions. And it's one thing if a shot is fired. It's an entirely different thing when it's 60 rounds fired, because that means somebody or a couple of people were reloading a couple of times.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking about a 25-year-old black man suffered at least, as TJ just stated, 60 wounds when police officers fatally shot him last weekend. We're speaking of Jaylen Walker. He was unarmed at the time, and he was killed.
And that's another point, Coach. You said that the medical examiner counted 60 wounds. So unless these guys were incredible shots, we're going to find out that there were 80, 90 rounds fired. Because, you know, fleeing suspect, running, you're not going to be accurate in hitting your target every time. So just consider that. And when we talk about the world, even a person on death row, a person who went and said to you, yep, I killed those 20 people. I murdered them and chopped their heads off. Guess what? They still can't be the victims of cruel and unusual punishment. Even after saying I did it, even after being convicted and they're getting put on death row, there's actually a humane way to kill a death row inmate. And in a scenario like this, I know overkill is like a bad use of words, but I think this is way out of bounds.
What is the protocol? And I've always said this, and I'm not blaming the victim at all, but what I am saying is sometimes, whether you're right or wrong, and you're stopped by the police, the worst thing one can do is to run and try to evade them. Talk to us, being a former police officer, when the police stops you, what is the proper procedure for a citizen?
Honestly, it sounds so simplistic, and I understand that some people have different levels of emotions and feelings, but you have to cooperate. You know, put your hands where the officer can see them. It's no point in even becoming argumentative, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to win that argument at the moment. It's really learn how to be observant on your end, and if you need to complain, learn how to complain properly and how to go up that flagpole to ensure you're getting the follow-up that you want, that you deserve, that you're looking for. But if we look at a lot of these bad encounters, and it was the young man, LaGuardia, I think that was Michigan just a few months back, who ran. If you look at a lot of these scenarios, if there was no fleeing, we wouldn't be having this conversation in large part. And sadly, I know, you know, people have, you know, feelings about that, but really that's the facts. If you don't run, I mean, you know, we can talk about how many, you know, look at some of these cities, how many black people get stopped on a daily basis and they don't end up like this.
Absolutely.
And then you talk about the moments that do end up like this.
Absolutely.
And they're tragic, and this should
absolutely
happen.
And certainly, again, do not call up and say, well, you guys are blaming the victim and you're taking the weight off police. No, we're not. We're certainly not, by no means. But what we're saying is that whether you're right or wrong, when the police stop you, the worst thing that you can do is to run.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah, we have to learn from these moments, Coach.
And that's why we bring it up. A teaching moment, okay? Mm-hmm. Do not, and I just had a conversation with Patrick Henderson and Jason and Doc and his team, and Doc, when he was with the NAACP Baltimore branch, put out a directive on what to do when stopped by the police. And we all should follow it. But as you stated, the main thing is not to be argumentative. Follow directives, and if you feel that you've been wrong, then there is a time and a place for that. The White Pettit, okay? Now, there are others, but he's my guy, so I'm mentioning his name, A. Dwight Pettit. If you stopped and the police are in the wrong, you believe, go through, give them all their information, and then immediately find and call A. Dwight Pettit. Okay.
Yeah. And Coach, you know, I've had the unfortunate situation of being in scenarios where I've had to go up the flagpole. And people have to, again, be observant. As soon as the scenario is over, write down, transcribe whatever occurred so it's fresh. If there is video proof or some other evidence, collect that and then start presenting your case. But presenting the case in a yelling way, in a running way, it just makes the problem worse. So, you know, when those scenarios happen, you know, again, we heard the term, squeaky wheel gets the oil. Got to learn how to do it. And I used to ask people all the time, and, you know, it might get me in a little trouble here, but I'll say it. You know, there's some that call police the biggest gang in America. Some say they thugs, this, that, and the other. Well, if you're so scared of them, how do you treat them worse than you treat the guy on the street corner that got a gun up to you until you kick it out? You listen to that person, but you won't listen to the person who's likely to get away with it if he does do something to you. So my point is, don't give it to them. Don't do it. Find out how to complain to ensure that officer's held accountable. And if anything, really quickly, if we look back on what happened with Herschel and Wayne Jenkins and all of those complaints, where there's smoke, there's fire. And as we get better as a profession and as a country with dealing with these things, then they hopefully will be held accountable. And it won't be the first time. You won't be the first encounter.
We'll let you know when we're going to open the lines, and the number's 410-481-1010. We're not ready to take calls yet. This is our rundown, and we call it the rundown section, part of the Coach's Corner featuring T.J. Smith. And next, T.J., Baltimore Ravens outside linebacker Jalen Ferguson died, as being reported, combined effects of fentanyl and cocaine. And I remember when it was reported and they said that there was a possibility, you had some people that were upset. Well, why are they saying this? And the news are so biased against blacks. But now it has been confirmed, according to reports. Just a sad situation. A very sad situation. Years ago, Lynn Bias and so many others, but when will these young athletes learn? Young people, period. People, period.
Yeah. I mean, it's tragic. And I guess the question also that's going to come up is the drug testing protocol in the NFL. And certainly not trying to pass off any blame, but was this his first time ever using coke? And what type of protocol do they go through for testing? Is it random? Is it because something's suspected? How does that happen that he can go through so much conditioning, especially in the off season when you would think it might be a higher chance for you to be tested to slip through the system? Now, I don't know. I could be completely wrong there. Mm-hmm. But a young man, you know, we have to ensure as well that regardless, you know, a lot of people see they have all this money. Why do they do this? Well, the money doesn't change their mentality. And in fact, it might increase the mentality that they might have come in with now that they have it and they feel that they're untouchable. And we need to make sure that there are enough resources for people like that, young people like that with money in a foreign city to be able to get the help they need if they're having some problems. So I think it's going to open up a lot of conversation in the league and certainly in Baltimore, which is a class act franchise, to figure out what we can do better to make this another teachable moment in a tragic way. But to your point, man, I kind of knew this was going down wrong side when you saw the statement come out and it didn't have a lot of detail to it. You kind of knew.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of kind of new, why is it, and we can count maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe even more, but why does it always seem that the Baltimore president of the city council, Nick Mosby, is always in the news in reference to money? All right, now I got to ask you the question, because you were a mayoral candidate. And here's the story. Baltimore will spend more than $3,000. Y'all listen to this. And for some of y'all that support Nick Mosby, I want y'all to call up and rationalize this. Tell me why. All right? Here we go again. Money and Nick Mosby. $3,000 for the city council president to attend political conference in Ocean City. And that's fine. Okay? The expenses were approved without discussion last week at the Board of Estimates meeting. But now here's the thing. You got council members Bullock, Conway, Green, Glover. They want to attend. But their expense range is from $1,500 to $1,200. Why is the city council president's expenses double of his colleagues? Why? Especially at a time where a lot of people are suffering. How can you justify that? And how can Nick Mosby, as a public official, as a Baltimorean, sign off on something like that? Talk to
Coach.
Me.
Coach, I'm exhausted. It's exhausting. So you have a city that is losing population down to about 575,000, 580,000 people, yet has 14 council persons and a council president, so 15 total. There's a lot to be said about the police budget and how overblown some people might think that is, but you talk about the bureaucracy of government, that's a whole different conversation. But you talk about I had the opportunity to work in private industry as well as in law enforcement and government and get per diem. Per diem is what it is. If the per diem for mileage is 58 cents a mile, that's the federal stats we give you, you can't say, well, you know what, I needed to get some windshield wiper fluid and an oil change while I was there, so I need $200 more. No, it's 58 cents a mile. You get the 100 miles it costs to get you there. That's it. And if you want to do something extra, you do it. If they gave you $35 a day per diem for food while you were out of town, you got $35 a day. And, you know, you can go get the steak special. You can go get the all-you-can-eat crabs. But guess what? We only putting $35 up towards it.
That's right.
To think that everyone else gets this, but somebody else gets that. It's extraordinary, and it makes you wonder, are we leading more with ego than we are with common sense, and then we are with humility, than we are with being a fiscal steward of taxpayer dollars? I'm exhausted, man, because this is like a news story that didn't need to be, you know?
And look, as the reports go, most of the extra cost is due, listen to this, folks, his higher nightly hotel rate at $539. Why does he have to stay in a $500 per night room?
And again, Coach, if his staff or he or someone was late getting the paperwork in, the per diem rate should be the per diem rate. If it's $325 for your living expenses for that week per night, then anything above and over, you have to pay.
Is he
deadline to book? That's now on you.
Is he milking the city? Yeah, because I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I think on appearance, you can ask the question: is he milking the city? I remember one time me and my buddy walking into a bar, and it was this beautiful lady sitting at the bar. And my buddy went up, he started a conversation with her, and he said, can I buy you a drink? And she said, sure. She was drinking a beer, but she ordered a top-shelf drink. And my point is, class, folks, just because TJ invites me to lunch doesn't mean that I'm going to order something that I normally wouldn't order if I was paying for it myself.
Right.
That's class. That's consideration.
That's right.
So I don't know how you can justify this and why in the hell with the border estimates okayed? Why did they okay?
You know, here's the other thing, Coach. You know, hate to bury the lead here, but it's not even, you know, it's what we're talking about right now by itself. But then it's like documented financial problems already. So it's almost like we got to have to remove this decision from you. And I just, this is so avoidable. And the lack of outrage and frustration just kind of shows how normalized things like this have become. And it doesn't bode well for building the hope that you want, because you just, it makes you question everything. Like, is there not enough crap already in the news about everything that we have to deal with this? And I would love to know if there's a logical and reasonable explanation. So hopefully on the other side,
we'll
hear from some callers who can justify it.
David Williams, who's the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, he says, other council members who are doing this for $1,200 to $1,500 versus the $3,000 by Mosby, these council members are showing that they can be fiscally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But this, this is not, if this were the first time, then you could say, okay, you know, but unpaid water bills, tax lien.
Right.
I mean, being the heir of an estate, on and on and on.
Exactly.
How can you have confidence in this guy as the president of your city council overseeing a budget?
Yeah, we have a right to question.
I don't want this guy to oversee my house budget. No.
We have a right to question it. We, and as taxpayers, we have a right to question it. And I'm surprised not more people are, because, I mean, it's something that arguably is a luxury item. I tell you, when I would have to do things like that, I wanted to blend in. I never, and who wants to be at the top? Who want to be the one that's staying at the Lowe's hotel while everyone else is staying at the Budget Inn? I mean, who want to be that guy? I mean, that woman. I mean, I wouldn't want to be that person.
Okay.
You stand out, you bring more scrutiny to yourself.
And finally, on the rundown before we open the lines, the state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby. I tell you, this is an article here. The primary election is quickly approaching, and for the current city state's attorney, it could be an uphill battle to victory, given the latest barrage of criticism coming in from all angles about how she has handled the office. Okay, and there's so many situations of plea deals with folks who have come back into society and committed other crimes.
Mm-hmm.
The number one responsibility, and please correct me, but as I see it, the number one responsibility of a state's attorney, first and foremost, is to run that office. To run that office and make the office productive. And look, I know Marilyn Mosby is a likable person, okay? But I've told her this to her face, and I'm going to say it again. Marilyn Mosby would have been a better politician. She would have been possibly a better council person and a better mayor. But as a prosecutor, she has failed and failed miserably. And I know y'all like her because she said she refused to prosecute black people. She didn't probably say it, but that's what some of y'all think. Well, guess what? Now hear this. Some black people need to be prosecuted. Some black people need to be off the streets. Your thoughts, and then we'll go to the line.
I'm exhausted, as I told you. You know, and what Coach is referring to, are two individuals, and, you know, some of this goes back to the courts as well, that got suspended sentences and went out and murdered. And, you know, these types of cases, these types of scenarios aren't unfamiliar. And this kind of goes back to judicial transparency and more of information that should be accessible to people to make informed decisions. And look, as all of these news stories we're talking about locally especially hit, Baltimore is over 180 murders. I believe the number was 183 as of this morning. And I don't even know how up to date that was, because I believe it was 180 on Friday morning or Thursday before you even hit July. And that's the highest that I've seen going back looking at the data in this last 8 years. And it's probably the highest ever at this point in the year. And my point in saying that is, those years that we ended up with 343 black, mainly black bodies dead, 348 mainly black bodies dead, we weren't even at this point in homicides yet. And in the backdrop of that, we're talking about some of this nonsense that is controllable. And that's the frustrating part, I know, for a lot of people who have interest in Baltimore. And, you know, I'm tired of it. And the midway numbers also came out. The only place per capita more violent than Baltimore right now is New Orleans. And it's not much more violent. It's just a touch more violent. And then the drop-off is significant, where people think Chicago and Philly, not even close. We double their numbers per capita.
Absolutely.
So just to put it in perspective.
All right, 410-481-1010. The lines are open. We want to hear from first-time callers. We want to hear from the ladies out there. Hey, give us your thoughts on our rundown topics. 410-481-1010. All right, let's go to the lines. Tony, who do we have? Doc. All right, Doc Cheatham. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with T.J. Smith.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The subject matter, one of the first ones was brothers getting annihilated. I can't think of any other word than assassinated. But I'm strongly suggesting this. What little record I got in civil rights, I'm asking folks to please hear this. And thank you, TJ and Coach, for bringing this up. There's a group that I think has the capabilities of helping us. Young brothers, let me tell you this. Running from the police is only get you one thing. 60 bullets like this young brother got the other day. Mm-hmm. We got to think better. We got to think smarter. I'm not asking you to be no punk or no chump. I'm asking you to live another day by not saying and doing things that cause these police officers, both black and white, male and female, to take us out. I'm asking the group that's called We Are Us. You are, I think, the most viable group that I see right now. I don't like Safe Streets. I don't like Ceasefire because they're making money, and I'm not seeing results. We Are Us. I am seeing results. I'm asking you, ministers, that have the resources and the manpower to get a document put back out in our neighborhood. We've passed out over 35,000 cards that say what to do is stopped by police. What to do, what to say, what not to say. We need to go back and educate our young brothers. Yes, there probably are some young sisters that need it as well, but I'm strongly suggesting We Are Us. Print this document and pass it out, because these brothers are doing and saying things that I'm not saying causing their death, but it helps to give the police an excuse to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Doc, well said. Well said.
Always a pleasure to hear from you, Doc.
Yes, well said. And Doc, before I go, it's, you know, this is public information. It's being reported that you have endorsed the candidate, Vignaraja. Just briefly tell us why.
Well, if I had my druthers, I would prefer Marilyn Mosby if she didn't have the baggage with her. I'm very fearful of the person, if she doesn't win, who might win if Vigna Raja does not. I am not comfortable with this other guy that's running. I know they're advertising he's a past NAACP legal defense fund. All I can say, I've been with the NAACP 40 years. I've never seen him at any NAACP event. If my druthers were, I would go with Marilyn, but I don't think she's going to be as successful as we need her to be in the courts. And I'm playing, I don't want to say the devil's advocate, but I'm doing what I think is in the best interest. We got to get someone in there that will at least help us. I would prefer Marilyn, but because I think she may not be as successful as we want in the courts, I had to go with Dhrupad Vigna Raja.
All right, well said. All right, thanks, Doc.
And for the record, the other person he was referring to is Ivan Bates, who's been around and involved for 25 years.
And maybe not at
the level that Doc wanted, but he's been around for a while. I just wanted to say his name.
Yes, and also, and we'll talk about this as well. I'm hearing voter registration, which is a good thing because we want people to vote. But that's just half of it. You cannot just register somebody to vote, and that's it. Most people, a lot of folks need voter registration, but after that, voter education.
Yes, indeed.
To let them know who's running and what their records are. Now, you don't have to endorse anybody if you don't want. You don't have to prefer or prioritize any one candidate. But I think that if you are civic-minded and you're registering people, let them know. Because I've said this, TJ, you may not agree, but I'm going to say it anyway, that an uninformed voter, to me, is as bad as a non-voter. Maybe even worse.
They got Herschel Walker as the nominee down in Georgia. So uninformed voters certainly are running the gamut down there. But hopefully people do educate themselves and also understand that a zebra doesn't change their stripes. So pay attention to, who's running, and it shouldn't be a popularity contest. It needs to be a contest about who can be effective and who can come with the best moral ground and the best ethical ground, because we don't need any crap moving forward. It's about families and lives and building up opportunity for the city.
And boy, it's going to, I can't wait for it.
I can't wait for it to be over with. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the commercials. I'm tired of the paperwork coming to my, I'm tired. I'm ready to get to governing and get to moving forward. Let's go.
Oh, wow. All right. 410-481-1010. 410-481-1010. The lines are open. If you want to talk about the up-and-coming races, especially the state's attorney race, who are you supporting and why, and the primary for the gubernatorial, Republican and Democrat, who are you supporting and why? All right, Tony, who's up next? All right, Rashid, you're up. Talk to us, brother.
Yeah, good afternoon, TJ and Coach. Unfortunately, I can't vote because I'm independent. I gotta wait way to November.
Okay.
You know, because I don't have no party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I gotta see who survived this race. Hey, TJ. TJ.
Go ahead.
Yeah, on August 26, 1977, my oldest brother, who was affiliated with the Black Panther Party, was shot 83 times with machine gun fire in Cobb County, Georgia. With machine guns. With machine guns. Have you ever heard of that, TJ?
I don't know that I've heard of that particular case. Maybe I have, but yeah, they're very sorry to hear.
Okay, Rashid, thanks for the call, my brother. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
All right, 410-481-1010. Let's go to Diane. Diane, you're up next. Coach's Corner with T.J. Smith. Talk to us, Diane.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Good. Happy holidays to you.
Back at you.
You know what? I was listening to what you said, you know, and everything. Back in the day, there was a difference. You know, there was, even when the mom wasn't home, the family stepped up. But what, and TJ, you can answer this. After that 1985, when crack cocaine came on the scene, that put the mother out there. And the children did things for themselves. And what happened was, it was like a whole lot of whole families became addicted to crack cocaine at the same time. So there was no grandmother in the house that, you know, got the children or the aunties to save the children. You know, because I had friends where their aunts came and got them. When their mom and dad act up, the other family members came and got them and raised them. You know, an aunt here, an aunt there, an uncle. Somebody took those their sisters or brothers' children.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't have that. We do have it, a small thing, but we don't have it on a larger scale like we used to have. And you have children out here fending for themselves because they don't want to go into the system, so they're not letting anybody know. So they taking care of their brothers and sisters and themselves, and they you know, they out here. And TJ, that's why I was saying, you can, that's how they get into the business of dealing drugs on the corner, trying to survive with their family members. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's the only way they know how to survive, because the community has not stepped up.
And we've got to change that mindset with them. Thanks, Diane. Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
we've got to change that mindset and give them options.
Yeah, the village has been eroded a bit, Coach. And Diane, the village that existed over those years, it slowly eroded because it was a thing coming up through those years. But as people's minds started to get debilitated, quite frankly, from drug use, and you had single parents taking on more, and you had incarcerated parents and substance abuse parents, and next thing you know, this mental health thing became a bigger issue. And now we're trying to put the genie back in the bottle and reverse things. That the village is a big deal, because kids are still home alone for periods of time and have to fend for themselves. And it's the survival of the fittest mentality. I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure out a way.
You know, imaging, I'm a big proponent and advocate of imaging. And this last week, there were at least one or two videos that went viral of a couple of Baltimore officials. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that people should not have a life. I don't care who you are. You have to have a diversion. You have to have time for yourself. But when you have a city in crises, yeah, I'm going to say it, and some of y'all got your head in the sand, you don't want to hear the truth, but the city is in crises, and to see people singing and dancing when Rome is burning, I got a problem with that. Talk me out of it, TJ, real quick, and then we'll go back to the line. And what I'm speaking of, a video was circulating of the state's attorney doing karaoke, and then someone else had mentioned of a video with the mayor. All right, and I'm not saying that folks can't have a life. I'm not saying folks can't enjoy themselves, but you got to be careful when you have a city in crises, when you have a large number of homicides, when you have people who are unemployed, et cetera, et cetera. You can't be videoed singing and dancing.
Yeah, Coach, I tell you, I saw those videos. They came my way fast and furious. And to your point, yeah, everybody can have a good time. And every waking moment of any official in any city of America is not going to be stressed with everything that's going on. However, the perception that you put out to the people at large can convey that. And just because social media is at your fingertips, everything doesn't have to be on social media. And you have to just know and have to understand, this is going to cause me more problems than it's worth. I don't need to tell everybody I'm having a good time tonight. I'm just going to keep this low, because I do want to at least present the perception that every time you see me on social media, I'm working to make the situation better. And again, it's a perception, but when people see that moment where you let your guard down, there are going to be some that defend it. There are going to be others that just, I mean, again, if you were a family member who got that knock on the door that your loved one wasn't coming home, I think the last thing you want to see is public officials, you know, dancing, doing hopscotch and everything else.
That's right. All right, let's go back to the lines. 410-481-1010. We got Tyrone up next. Tyrone.
Hey, Coach. TJ.
Hey, you're in the Coach's Corner with TJ Smith.
I love the show. Look, a couple of things on the city state's attorney race. This is so critical for the citizens of Baltimore, this election coming up, because you've got a state's attorney and a mayor, but let's start focus on a state's attorney, who is just basically operating with blinders on and is tone deaf. She has brought in full lock, stock, and barrel to her ideology that there's really no crime that a person commits that they should be punished for. I mean, the plea deals, the lack of experienced prosecutors handling these major cases. I don't know if you saw the news where some of the more senior prosecutors in her office are handling traffic cases because they're so severely understaffed. So I mean, she's got to go. She would have made a great social worker, community advocate, maybe some type of delegate or something. But she is way up over her skis, and she's now leading with her attitude and this mindset that, like, you don't know what you're talking about. What you see in front of you is not what you actually see. TJ, when she said the guy that dragged the police officer, one of the arrests was because he was defending himself in a gunfight. But what she failed to mention was he was using an illegal gun to shoot at somebody who he was beefing with over a female.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Always good to hear.
I can't argue that one. Thanks, Tyrone. All right, 410-481-1010. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're up next. Talk to me.
Yes, I'm glad I get a chance to talk to you people. Listen to you carefully. We are being genocide, and I'm going to tell you why. You see, I'm going to break it down to you, let you know where you stand. First of all, these doctors they give out a lot of negatives when you go there to the doctors, especially when you get that ANA, anti-nuclear antibody. Hell, fight the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and Marines to keep them find a vaccine for that. And they cover that up, beautifully. A lot of people, you got it. You don't even realize you have it.
All right, Bill, go to hit to the topics that we're talking about. We're not talking about the vaccine.
The topic is going to be this. The topic, yes, you have to have a change. I have to have a change. Yes, she has to go right along with her husband. And I tell you right now, we need a big change because, I mean, they're helping these drugs. Look, they're being sold down the tube. They're selling, you happen to sell these drug dealers are taking over, and they've got the city in the palm of their hands, damn near, and she's helping them.
All right, thank you.
They got a lot of men that got to go.
All right, thank you.
They
got to
get them out.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks for the call. All right, now let's keep rolling. Let's go to Tyrone. Tyrone, you're up next. Talk to us.
Yeah, I wanted to commend Diane for saying the most sensible thing I've heard on this radio today with regard to the fact that she realized that something actually happened, all right? And you can Google this, Google why did Nixon start the war on drugs to hurt black people. It's in there. Google it. Take your time and Google it and read about it.
Well, I disagree. I'm going to let you finish. Hold it. I'm going to let you finish, but I'm going to interject.
Okay, go ahead.
I disagree with that. The war on drugs hurt blacks who were drug dealers. It didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt Tyrone. Didn't hurt you.
Yes, it did, because it affected everybody's family. So that's what you understand.
Well, but those people, how many of those folks, Tyrone, how many of those folks who went to jail innocently?
Police are planting drugs. And do you understand that the Drug Task Force were implicated in selling drugs that were looted at the Fair Game Rise? Did you know that?
That's what I'm saying. Everybody.
You know what? Listen, make your point. This is not the guy. I'm not the talk show host.
I'm not the guy because you don't understand.
No. I understand clearly. But what I'm not going to do is to make excuses. As Diane stated,
Coach, I'm telling you what happened.
Other than slavery, what else had a more devastating effect on the black community other than crack? And then, go ahead.
Yeah, let me finish. Okay, on the heels of that, we had the CIA smuggling drugs. You look this up too. Smuggling drugs to our community. Crack. We had a crack epidemic. You probably don't even know that even happened. Okay, and then
what do you mean I don't know that even happened? Don't insult me like that, man. Come on now, Tyrone,
Let me say this real quick. Before the war on drugs, we had 200,000 people in prison. After the war on drugs, we had 2.4 million. That had an effect, I'm telling you.
And how many of those folks were
in the farmers community? Everybody ain't gonna tell them.
All right, thanks, Tyrone. All right, thanks for the call.
Hey, Coach, Tyrone's delivery is not the best all the time, but I agree with Tyrone. We have to incorporate mass incarceration because black folks were disproportionately mishandled and treated poorly in the justice system. Just think about this. It wasn't until Eric Holder and the Obama administration had some great equalizer, finally, when we talk about the federal system, 50 grams of crack got you the same time as 500 grams of cocaine.
And TJ, that's a different argument. If you want to talk about the disproportion and the unlevel playing field, that's a great conversation. Okay, so, but the conversation is that black folks shouldn't have gone to jail for selling drugs. The conversation should be that the white folks and all other ethnicities should have gotten the same amount of time.
Because of this, quote, war on drugs that had this disproportionate impact in minority cities, it disrupted the home. And it allowed for a lot of young black kids to be on their own, and it allowed to break up the family. But like you said, that's another conversation.
Selling drugs. I mean, if you sell drugs, you need to go to jail. I don't give a damn whether you're black, white, yellow,
green. We won't disagree with that. But
if a black kid
in Baltimore is, and he's getting 15 years, and the white kid in Carroll County is, and he's getting probation, we got a problem.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're up next. Coach's Corner with T.J. Smith.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. excuse me. I'm like T.J., man. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to vote. I can talk because I didn't vote for the last four mayors. I think if T.J. was in there or if Sheila was in there, we would have better, you know, things would be better. I don't think we would have had a lawlessness. Coach and TJ, it's always going to be stupid crimes, but we've never had lawlessness like we have now. Solutions. TJ was out there with us, Coach, many, many times. So if anybody want a suggestion for We Out Us, it's weoutusmovement.org. But what we're doing is solutions. We out here trying to stop these murders. We have a 24-hour Stop the Beef hotline, Coach. 24-hour Stop the Beef hotline, 443-431-3705, 443-431-3705.
All right.
No police involvement, man.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. Let's keep rolling. We got Money Mike up next. My main man, Money Mike.
Hey, Coach. Hey, TJ. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah. All right, well, look, first I want to say in Ms. Mosby's behalf, you know, she's under this attack because she has went abroad and she studied it. Now, I'm saying, Coach, I agree with you that people need to go to crime and black people should not put up with it at any point, but we have to understand we're under attack. And if the mayors had some real sense, they would come up with a class action lawsuit against the government. For the crack cocaine, it has destroyed our communities. And if we don't look at it, I don't see a mayor, I don't see a police chief, I don't see a state's attorney that has a solution for it. I thought this police commissioner coming from New Orleans but he's throwing up his hands. He ain't never seen nothing like this. And I'm waiting to see when somebody has a mayor, has a police chief, that has a solution, that has some programs that are really going to work, then I'm going to say
I think that you have a state's attorney, in my opinion, that's over her head, and that she is far better as a politician than a litigator. That's my opinion. Okay.
She may be, Coach, but I'm waiting. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Show me one. Now, her and her husband have some issues, and you know.
Oh, some issues. Come on now. They got a lot of issues.
We might need to go out with the bag lady from America Badu today.
But I'm gonna say this, TJ, and I'm gonna say this, Coach, and I'm gonna get off. You know what their problem is? See, they learned the game from some people before who didn't teach them all the rules to the game. Baltimore, this government, especially when we look at the school system, this governor hasn't gone after the school system like they did in Georgia. People went to jail for that. So the corruption has been here. I'm not giving anybody a pass. And as far as the convictions, where are the judges at? And as far as the arrests, where's the sheriff at? Who's handing
the
awards?
Plea deals,
Too many plea deals.
Always a pleasure, Money
Mike. All right, Mike, thanks, my man.
Always, Coach. All right, TJ.
All right, we're down to the wire. Let's see what Jason has to say. Jason, you're up next.
Oh, great show, gentlemen, as always. When you two are together, it's just the powerhouse of discussion. I just wanted to add this tidbit. Me and Yolanda Pulley are probably one of the only ones that have actually spoken to the policy director of the state's attorney's office, Mr. Michael Collins, who is no longer formally there. And he doesn't put this blame on the state's attorney's office. This is a ground issue. This is an issue with policing. The state's attorney's office is just an administrator of justice. And when you have a limited amount of budget that's coming into the state's attorney's office, you have to pick your fights. So a lot of these lower level policies that she's no longer prosecuting, in some cases, serve no benefit. John Hopkins research had showed, and there was many other research papers that were brought out throughout the country. That's why many progressive essays and DA offices had moved to that type of policy, because they had limited budgets. They have to pick their fight. And they wanted to address more of the violent crime. Now, as far as the personnel issue is concerned, that's an issue going on nationwide. And actually, that's going on with almost every company in America right now. This company, Urban One Radio, is looking for board operators. They're looking for all kinds of employees. I work at another company. They're looking for all kinds of employees. They have a 40% turnover rate. Because right now it is a employee market. You can dictate basically what you want for a job, and people are jumping left and right
on
the job.
Let me just say this, and the point you make is very valid, but I cannot accept the fact that the state's attorney is not complicit in the disarray of that department.
Yeah, and Jason, always a pleasure to hear from you. But let me just real quick, on San Francisco, that had a progressive prosecutor that they recalled and got out of office. Yeah. Do you, as we talk about violent crime, you know how many murders they've had up to the midway point of the year in San Francisco? 23. We have exceeded that in small districts in the city of Baltimore. So I think everything doesn't fit for every area, and I totally disagree with going out there doing mass sweeps on small things. However, what one of the callers said earlier, it's the difference between lawlessness and people just doing silly stuff. And
I think if you had even Scrooge McDuck in there as the state's attorney, it would not make a difference. And to think that, you know, some of these folks, like, you know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of Baru or Ivan, but I think that anybody that you have in there is going to deal with some of the same policy issues, some of the same budgetary issues, and some of the same personnel issues. It's hard to get
all right, Jason, we're down to the wire, as you know.
Who wants to go in the SA's office when you can go out there and be a law firm and go to work for a law firm? I mean,
thanks, Jason. I thank you. Jason is my man. I respect him, but I don't agree with that. I think you have a more experience polished prosecutor, then you still have problems, but it wouldn't be to this extent. All right, let's go to Juanita. You are the last caller. You have the last word. Juanita.
Yes. I need to know. Well, they keep saying that Merlin is not prosecuting low crimes, people that have a little bit of RIPA. I need to know, what is the difference in when you can go get that card and go to the store and buy that cannabis and small quantity of marijuana? What's the difference?
Well, I think it's a big difference.
It's either legal or unlegal.
Well,
that cannabis is bad, too.
Okay, but I think there's a big difference. But TJ, real quick, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it is a difference because you have to actually have a marijuana card. You can't, if you don't have
you got to have a card. You can't, you got to have a card.
And
the government made it legal.
Hold on. Mind you, Juanita, marijuana small amounts have been decriminalized. So that it's been decriminalized already. And I don't think that's the crux of the conversation. It's more about the quality of life crimes that the people are saying are unenforced.
All right, thank you.
And you know what?
Real quick.
Nobody shut down my Governor Holden when he went over to spend all that money for the
Well, no. Somebody said something, and that was a snafu on Governor Hogan's part. But I think that Governor Hogan, overall, whether you like him a Democrat or Republican, has managed the state far better than Marilyn Mosby has managed the attorney's office.
And if this is about the $500,000 for the test kits, this was also when the former president pretty much abandoned ship. And there was nothing being done to try to address the pandemic. So I think back then.
Right.
But I know we got to wrap it up.
Well, we have to wrap it up, TJ. Man, what a show. And folks, if you enjoyed today's show, you better join us next week because we will be even better. And support the sponsors, the businesses like A Step Forward, 410-462-6001. And my main man, J&W Brown General Contracting, 410-728-5000. That's 410-728-5000. And if you want to be a sponsor on this show and have your business read and talked about, hit me up on my email, butchmcadams@yahoo.com, butchmcadams@yahoo.com. Well, TJ, have a blessed week, man. And you know what I always say, make good decisions, man, because you know life is hard. But it's even harder when you're stupid. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good one.